Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. Hope you had a wonderful holiday and everyone was safe and your dogs were not traumatized by anything. Ours did very well, even with fireworks right outside our home. So now that that is done, let's hope that we can move on a few months without a lot of booms, whether it be fireworks or thunderstorms. Before we get started, I do want to give out just a couple of announcements here. One, we have launched our Unleashed and Enriched program. This is a do-it-for-you service that we offer where we can do enrichment with your dog there at home, whether it's free work, nose work, a good sniffari, or we can take your dog out for an adventure, whether that's hiking, enrichment out and about, city walks, social time. And then we also offer off-leash adventures at sniff spots and safe locations where the dogs are fenced in, can't go anywhere, but allowing them to just be dogs. Now, we only offer this to local areas, obviously, but even there, we only do 2 days a week. And there are specific areas that are eligible. So if you're interested in that, be sure you send us an email with Unleashed in the subject line so we can let you know when a spot opens up. It's very much limited availability. We will come up with an enrichment plan for your dog based on their genetic needs, based on their desires, and you will be able to come home from work or at least work during the day knowing that your dog is getting the enrichment they need to meet those genetic needs. Because it's really important that, and you guys have heard me talk about it before, enrichment is more important than obedience. This is not obedience training. You can add on some particular skills that we can work on, but it's certainly not going to be a training session. It's all about meeting those genetic needs. And if you didn't sign up for the newsletter, you missed out on a really good opportunity from our newsletter last week. I believe you can find you might be able to find the newsletter on the website. I have to check with Britt on that. She's not with me today. So I have to check with her on that to make sure. But with the newsletter, there are a couple of good links into Kim Brophy's legs course, as well as The Dog's Truth, which is a free video for you guys. So you can just simply go to YouTube, look up Kim Brophy legs. You can also go to just Google search Kim Brophy. I'll try to remember to put this in the show notes so you guys can have the link for that. It's just important to understand that your dog is typically not suffering from behavior issues, but usually suffering from a lack of getting their needs met. And we're talking genetic needs. We're not just talking, you know, feeling safe, good food, nutrition, fresh water, roof over their head. I mean, those are important, but that's not what we're talking about with enrichment. So with that, you definitely want to check out our do-it-for-you service, but we also, even if you're not local, we do have our Enrichment Over Obedience online course through Thinkific, and you guys can go through there. It's very affordable, and we'll give you some ideas on enrichment and a little bit deeper understanding on enrichment. All right, I think that's really all I have. Unless you do need a virtual session, those are available to you. We can do a lot with you over Zoom. So just keep that in mind. If you're struggling finding someone that you trust, finding someone who uses positive methods, someone who understands trauma and behavior cases, we are here for you and we want to help you out. So Today, I want to talk about some life hacks. Now, you've heard me talk about Mr. Rogers, the Carl hack. We're going to talk about just a few of those to give you some things you could start doing with your dog. That's not, again, not necessarily training, but just some little hacks to help you get through some of the struggles, okay? And these hacks can be used in many different situations. Now, the box fan hack is the first one I want to talk about. And again, you guys have heard me talk about using like a brown noise machine to help drown out the noise. And again, this is something we use a lot, especially with the fireworks. Now, you don't have to use a noise machine. You can use just a regular box fan or a big loud fan. The thing is, it's got to be loud enough. So when do you use it? It's ideal for dogs with sound sensitivity. It's ideal for dogs when they need to just rest and relax and not worry about what's happening in the home. If you work from home, your dog may not be getting the rest that they need because they're hearing you on, conference calls, Zooms. You're getting up and down to go to the bathroom. You're going to the kitchen on a regular basis. You go get the mail. UPS comes. You open the front door. You know, and your dog is not getting the rest that they need. And remember, they need 11 to 14 hours a day as an adult. So this is a great way to put them somewhere and put a box fan or a sound machine of white noise, brown noise to just drown everything out. Now, the advantage of using a box fan is the box fan pushes air through the space and air currents bounce off walls and break up sound waves. So unlike a white noise machine that is just going to be the noise itself, the disruption makes it difficult to pinpoint or perceive any specific sound outside of the room. And it can really help with that just relaxing, for your dog and completing the stress cycle. Box fans are cheap. You can get them pretty much anywhere. And they don't have to be huge. They don't have to be super loud, right? Don't go get the construction one. But it is definitely something that you need to look at doing if your dog has sound sensitivities or they have a difficult time relaxing. Okay, so the best way to use it is use it in a small space like a bedroom. Just set up the fan between the source of the triggering sound and your dog's resting area. So that might be near the window. It might be at the door of the room. It's really going to depend on what your dog is going to see as triggers. If it's, you know, out the window, then we're going to want to point it in that direction. Try to keep the fan from blowing at your dog. So really want the fan blowing away from the dog. So just point it towards a wall or another solid object, just about a foot away to block, you know, the most noise that you can block out. So again, this is something very easy you can do. If you have company coming over and your dog doesn't do well with company, or your company isn't set up to deal with your dog, place them in a bedroom somewhere and use the fan. Now, I do like you to add in like a lick mat, a topple, something that the dog can lick on to just calm down and enjoy themselves. So it's a great hack that you can use very simply for so many different situations to help your dog stay calm so that you're not getting frustrated and your dog's not getting frustrated. Now, you've heard me talk about the Carl hack, so I'm not going to go into that much, but I do want to remind you about the Carl hack. The Carl hack is basically using a kind of a life-size stuffed dog. You can get it through Melissa and Doug. You can sometimes find them on Amazon. But, you know, I have not just used the dog, but I got Willow, a big lion, and from tail to nose or tail to tip of the foot in the front is like 6 feet long, and it's in a laying down position. She loves it. And if you're not on TikTok, you need to go watch that video. I need to put it on Instagram. It is so funny to watch her playing with it. And all the animals are so glad that she has it because then they're not getting bounced on. And what this does is it allows the dog to just exhibit some very normal and social behavior. when it comes to like roughhousing, you know, biting and ambushing, maybe wrestling real rough. And, you know, it's not always appropriate to play that way with your siblings, with your housemates, or even with the humans. So this is a really good way. And it's not just with puppies. You know, you can use it for other dogs, older dogs that maybe don't want to be home alone. Or I do have some dogs that are a little older that have some arousal issues, and when they're trying to regulate their emotions, they start to mount and hump. And that is usually something that owners are not a big fan of. And so we recommend getting them a little dog, whatever size they need, so that they can redirect that humping behavior towards the stuffed dog instead of your guest, you, your pillows, or even their dog bed. So that's a great way to just, again, give the dog an outlet. And this is an outlet or a behavior that a lot of people get frustrated with. So this is just a great way for the dog to be able to exhibit that behavior without you being in the middle of it. So sometimes I will play with that dog with her, so I'll get it moving. But typically, I just let her play alone. And again, you guys can go on our social media and see her playing with that. It's really good. The newsletter that we put out last week, I did put an article on there on the Mr. Rogers hack, and you can find that blog on our website. And the Mr. Rogers hack, you can read all about it through there. I'm not going to go into it here. You've heard me talk about it, but you can read more about that on our blog through our website. The other one I want to talk about, again, this is something that a lot of people kind of struggle with on when they have company, when they have things happening in their home. They struggle with their dog being reactive, barging at the door, jumping on their guest. Sometimes it's just easier to put your dog somewhere else. Right, just putting your dog somewhere else, they can see what's happening, but they can't actually get to what they want. So we call this the off-duty hack. All right, so again, this is something that we can use when you have people coming over. Because a lot of times owners are getting stressed out whenever they come over. So, for a large percentage of dogs, having visitors to their home is very frustrating and scary because owners get upset with their dog. So basically, the dog sees that when no guests are there, they're loved on, they're cared for, they're spoken nicely to. But then when people come over, all of a sudden, their owner yells at them, grabs them by the collar, pulls them back, punishes them. And then they get this kind of attitude of, God, people coming over sucks. It makes my owners mad at me. So we get a lot of reactions to that. Now, there are some dogs that are just so over the moon with excitement, you know, that they are all over the place. But they can still have a little bit of nervousness with that. So you get those mixed in and you're going to get behavior that's just really hard. So instead of trying to control the dog on this, it's really a better way to set the dog up for success. So before your guests arrive, you're going to establish where your off-duty place will be and how you're going to set that up. You'll want to use something like a baby gate, maybe a tether to a bed that is in a spot where the dog can see the greeting and the visitors coming in, but they can't access them. Okay. You'll also want to make sure you have 2 to 5 highly valuable chews, bones, or even some activities that the dog just absolutely loves. But it's something that the dog only gets when there are visitors. Now, you want to make sure that your company, you're going to want to kind of ask them to help you out a little bit. You want them to let you know when they arrive. And really, prior to even pulling into the driveway would be my recommendation. But if you do see them pull into the driveway, You can be ready. And as soon as you see them come up to the door, whether they knock or they ring, you're going to say, "We have visitors," and you're going to escort your dog to their off-duty location. And you're going to really give them out those high valuable rewards. And this is not just one treat, two treats. This needs to be a topple that maybe only has something special. So maybe that's the only time they get a little cheese whiz or a little bit of yogurt or something like that is when visitors come over. You'll have to figure it out with your dog. So like what we do with Isabella is we do a baby gate in the bedroom, and she'll either get a topple, a frozen topple, or she'll get a bully stick. And those are, usually we leave those for when we have guests coming over. Now, once you put your dog in their spot, you're going to calmly go let your company in. Okay, so you're just going to go let them in, talk to them, and I want you to ignore any barking, any jumping, anything that they're doing. I want you to ignore that, okay? I just want you to interact with your guest as if the dog's not there. Okay, once the dog kind of sees that, okay, this isn't really working for me and I'm not really getting attention here, they're going to go back to that high valuable reward and they're going to start to slowly calm themselves down with that. Now, if your dog is very social, you're welcome to let the dog out once everyone gets settled. I say that the first 20 minutes is the most exciting for any type of change in environment. So when you have people coming in, you have this 10 to 20 minutes of excitement, chatter, movement, and that's going to be more exciting for the dog. So you want to wait until the guest, everyone's settled down, they have their drinks, they have, you know, whatever they need, and we're just going to chill. Then you can start to let your dog out to say hi. Now, if you have a dog that's more fearful, a little cautious, they may prefer staying in the off-duty area. They can still see you. They can still be in there. But they, again, they're not forced to interact with anybody. And when your dog is in the off-duty area, no one is to interact with them other than you. Okay? I don't want anybody else. I don't want your guest interacting with them when they're in the off-duty area. Now, if your dog is really protective, then really the off-duty station needs to be the entire visit. Okay, once the guests leave, you can remove the gate, untether, take all the special chews, bones, toys, whatever up, put away, and then we are prepared to do it the next time. Now, you can practice this by inviting people over and say, let's specifically practice this. You can have someone that lives in the house with you go outside and come and knock on the door or ring the bell, and then you can go, "Oh, we have visitors," and then you take them to their off-duty. Now, you don't have to use the word "we have visitors" or the three words. You can come up with what you want, but again, it's just creating some predictability. When I hear this, when I see this, when mom says this, this is what happens. I don't have to make guesses. I don't have to worry about what the guests are going to do. I'm off duty. Mom's got it. Dad's got it. We're good. And then we are just going to chill out there. So again, it's really telling your dog that that the expectation is to just enjoy yourself while we have company. So that's a really good one just to help your dog be better with guests. And I believe over time, if you are consistent, your dog will start to hear the doorbell, hear the knocks, and probably before you even say, "We have visitors," they're probably going to go ahead and run to their off-duty area. I don't recommend your off-duty area be right next to the front door if anybody can kind of put their hands over, right? I see a lot of offices at front doors. I wouldn't put them in the office with a baby gate. Now, if you have glass doors, you could probably use that if your dog is not jumping and tearing up the door. But you really just want to make sure you keep everyone safe, allow everybody to come in, and your dog learning to be controlled in this environment and this excitement. And really, we put Isabella in the off duty because she is so excited. to see everybody. So when we put her in there with her bully stick or her topple, she sees them and she's like, yay, you're there. She knows she'll get to come see them later. But right then, she's just worried about her stuff. So that can make a huge difference. All right, the last one I want to talk about is kind of a little similar to the off-duty hack, what I consider a little off, you know, similar, where the off-duty hack is saying, you don't need to worry about it, I've got it. Well, there's another hack that we use called the step-up hack. And this is about helping the dog to learn that they don't need to worry about things in the environment because you're going to step up and take care of it. And that is so important. You know, dogs need to know that you're their secure attachment, that you'll handle things. And this can go right along with our Mr. Rogers hack. A good way to explain the step-up hack is the mom arm. You know, that mom arm in the car that flies out when you put on the brakes and basically say, I got it. I got you. We're all good to go. So the way you're going to use this, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can position yourself to where your toes are just right in front of your dog's nose. And basically, you're just going to run your hand down the leash, just signaling to the dog that I've got this. But you can also implement it by physically placing your body in between your dog and the stressor. But the stressor needs to be more of kind of not explosions. Okay, you don't want to use this if your dog has serious reactivity issues. You're going to want to work on that a little bit. This is something that you can use for kind of novel situations. Obviously, this is something you'll eventually use if you have a reactive dog as you progress through your training. But if it's something novel and your dog's not sure, this is a great way of doing it. So basically, if your stressor presents itself, and you're going to want to always try to avoid any triggers, but sometimes something scares our dogs and we don't know, right? What you're going to do is you're going to gently slide your hand down the leash and place your body weight just ahead of your dog's kind of nose and shoulder area. You can also put your body in between, but I don't want you turning and facing your dog, okay? Because that's more blocking the dog, and that's not what we want to do. We want the dog to see that it's there so that they're not wondering if they're going to jump around you. I just want them to see you handling it. Okay, now, be aware that you're actually sliding your hand down the leash and stepping up. You're not jerking back on the leash to pull your dog back toward you. That's going to create more reactivity. If you're standing or sitting and they see something concerning or arousing, you can simply just kind of place your body just a little bit ahead. Instead of having to kind of bring that leash back, to your body. So just maybe even putting just a little bit of your body in front. So if I'm sitting there, I might just push my foot just in front a little bit, just to say, I got you, or my knee or my leg. And again, I'm not using this to be confrontational with my dog. It's just about saying, you don't have to worry about it. Because if they want to get to you, they got to come through me. I got my eye on them, and they're going to have to come through me. So anytime they're looking at the trigger and they can remain calm, you can absolutely give them a treat, praise, tell them how good they are, use Mr. Rogers. But you're letting them know that you're taking care of things, and they don't need to worry about it, right? You're the protector. You got it. You're stepping up, and you're saying, you know what? You don't need to think about how to respond to that novel situation, that novel thing, right? I've got you. I've got you. And that can make a huge difference. So it can really ease that tension with your dog and not have to guess what they need to do. When we start to do things such as pulling the dog back and yanking on the leash, telling them no and dragging them away, those things can really lead to a lot of confusion, fear, and it's going to increase your reactivity. So you have to learn to stay calm in those situations. I used it a lot with Willow as a puppy when she is seeing new things she's never seen before. I let her know, I got this. I just may put like one leg in front of her and turn my body just a little bit side to the side so she's just a little bit behind me, but she can absolutely see what's happening. And then I'm just talking to her. I'm just talking to her, letting her know, I got it. It's all good. I got you, mama. Right? So that is a really good one that you can use as well. So these are some hacks that you can use in your everyday, just very simple things, right? It's really about building that relationship and making your dog feel safe and making them understand that you're in charge. You're not in charge because you're being a bully and being commanding and, you know, making them work for every resource. You're in charge because you're upper management, your tour guide, you know more about this world, you know what these things are, you've got thumbs, you know, but you can keep them safe. And they're going to think you know about everything. They're going to think you're the smartest human in the world because you know everything. And that's what we want them to be. We want them to count on us when they're unsure about something. And over time, what I have found with Willow is when she is unsure with something, she will look at me, she will come to me, and it's like you can see it in her face. And it's like this, hey, can you help me out here? Because I'm not real sure. Or she looks to me to see how I'm responding to something. And it makes all the difference with her. When something does scare her, we had a huge, huge, huge boom the other night in a thunderstorm. And we all jumped. And, you know, once I jumped, I was like, oh, okay, that was a big one, guys. And I just started talking. And she had jumped up and moved a little bit. When I say moved a little bit, she went halfway across the room. She looked at me and I was like, whoa, that was a big one, wasn't it, girl? And she was like, whoa, that was. And then she just kind of bounced right back. She has good resilience. And she was like, okay, can we play? Let's do something. And that really makes a huge difference. And it's just like the kids, you know, our neighbor's grandkids that I'm like an aunt to. When something happens, a lot of times I'll see them look at me and be like, how is she doing with this? How is she responding to this? Or they'll look at their parents or their grandparents of how are they responding to this? And they will mimic those things quickly. So if you're responding in a way that's negative, they're going to pick up on that. If you're responding to something calmly and you're in control, they're going to feel safer and they're going to learn to handle things in a similar fashion. So I hope this helps you a little bit with just, you know, some of the behaviors that you might be struggling with. And there are a ton more hacks. There are so many hacks. And you can actually purchase on Kim Brophy's website, you can purchase the package of hacks. And there's even more hacks. These are just a tiny sampling of hacks that I've talked about. There are a ton of hacks. And they'll even show you how to use them, when to use them. I'll link that in the show notes. It's such a great program. But I hope this helps at least get you on a track of doing some right things for your dog and helping your dog learn how to handle this world instead of you walking around being frustrated all the damn time. All right? Your frustration is typically because you don't know what else to do, but we're here to tell you, we got things. We can help you. I don't care if you've had four other trainers and you're still struggling. We can help you. Right? We can help you. Now, you have to be a part of it. We have a lot of education, a lot of knowledge, but you have to be willing to do it. And maybe the trainers you've worked with have the knowledge and the positive reinforcement and they've got good skills, but you just didn't follow through. If that's the case, call them back up and tell them, you know what, you had some really good stuff for me and I just didn't follow through. Can we start over? Trust me, they would much rather you call them and tell them that than you go to another trainer. Right? I would much rather I have somebody who didn't do what I told them to do and they still have all these problems. I'd rather them call me back instead of going to another trainer. And of course, they may go to another trainer because that trainer may explain it better. All right, so sometimes it's just about how the teaching is happening and how you absorb it. But it's also important for you guys to let the trainers know that you're working with how you learn best. Right, I asked a client the other day, I said, do you learn well by videos? Can you learn with videos? And he said, very well. Excellent. So I want you to teach this and this. I'm not going to cover it on our Zoom. Here's the link to the YouTube. Watch it and do those things. Some people can't do that. Some people need hands-on. Some people need to see it in person. Some people need it written out. So always talk to your trainers about that as well. But if you do need help, whether you got trauma issues, behavior issues, anxiety issues, you know what? Shoot us an email. We're here for you. My life is about educating you to be better dog owners, and in turn, helping us to have better dogs across the world. All right, I hope you guys got a lot out of that. If you can do me a huge favor, please rate and review our podcast wherever you listen so that we can get more listeners. It really does help. And if you can subscribe so that you don't miss out on our new episodes, which we put out every Tuesday with an occasional week off. And if you have any listener questions, we love listener questions. I want to do an entire episode on listener questions. I would love to do that in the next couple of weeks. So if you guys can send me your questions, I would love that. I will take the first five questions that we get and I will answer those in an entire podcast episode. And I promise if you've got that question, somebody else has it. I don't have to use your name. We don't have to shout out that you're the one that had this question. If you don't want, you can let me know in your email if you're okay with using your name or not. And we will answer questions. So the first five that I get, we'll start there. And then anything that comes after that, we will keep for our next listener questions. I would love to do these once a month because I love getting questions from you guys. So that's it. I got it. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. Try to stay cool. Make sure you're giving your dog enrichment and start practicing some of these hacks.